Is he from Gabon?
What?
Is he from Gabon?
Gabon?
Yes, is he from Gabon?
Why are you saying that?
Gabon.
Can you stop saying that
well,
now?
Well, ask her if he's from Gabon.
Oh. Is he from Gabon?
No.
No, he's not from Gabon, so shut up.
Anglophiles, a podcast where two Americans break down British pop culture. I'm Sheldon.
I'm Danny.
And I am very excited today because today there's a brand new generation of Pokemon announced.
Okay. Okay, before we get into
I'm coming in hot.
Okay, listen, this is a podcast about British TV, movies, authors, and pop culture.
Yes.
British culture in general. The reason we are going to talk about Pokemon, a Japanese game, is why, Sheldon?
Because the next generation is completely based on England. It's just a map of England upside down.
That's really cool.
It's crazy. It's great.
So it's very UK themed.
Yeah, I mean, every generation is based on a region of the world. Like,
yeah.
The US has been part of one. Japan is the first generation, obviously.
And one of the most recent ones was Hawaii.
Yeah, and Paris was the one before that.
Cool.
Or rather, all of France. But, yeah, this one's England, and it looks, like, very industrial, and there's, like, smokestacks and stuff, and there's a little grass monkey that I'm in love with. It's gonna be a great
game.
That's
cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you.
So, I'm in a good mood for this episode, and, like, what an episode it is.
Yeah. We have, we're doing Ab Fab, a.k.a.
Absolutely Fabulous.
Absolutely Fabulous, a British sitcom from the 90s. So to prep for this episode, we have watched a ton of Ab Fab.
And this is a show I didn't really know. Like, a couple of the last ones we've done, I mean, I don't watch sitcoms. It's not really my thing. I don't enjoy laugh tracks and stuff, so I just haven't sought out a lot of shows with laugh tracks.
Yeah.
Even though, like, I've never seen a lot of Cheers. Everyone, like, makes fun of me for that, but, like, it's just not for me.
I, too, am not a huge sitcom fan, but I think British sitcoms in general are a bit better than a lot of American sitcoms, so.
At least the ones that we've subjected ourselves to. I'm sure people listening that are like, oh, we could give you the worst, the bottom of the barrel.
That's true.
But this one is phenomenal. This is one of the best sitcoms, seriously.
Absolutely Fabulous came onto our radar when I think it was after the Vicar of Dibley episode we did.
Yeah.
I started to really look into Dawn French and her comedic partnership with
their writing partners.
Jennifer Saunders. Yeah, they're comedy partners for years. And so in doing so, I watched a lot of clips from French and Saunders. And I didn't really know Jennifer Saunders, or I didn't think that I knew Jennifer Saunders.
Yeah.
She's actually been in a lot more than I ever realized. But, I was watching a lot of French and Saunders, and just, I was like, this woman is amazing.
Yeah.
And then I found out that Absolutely Fabulous started as a sketch from French and Saunders.
Oh, cool. So
it was a kind of a recurring sketch that I guess was very popular. So, yeah, they did a spinoff. They did a full show, Absolutely Fabulous.
Wow.
So
that's pretty rare. Like, I mean, in American shows, some, like, SNL sketches have turned into movies.
Mm.
And then I think they've tried, like, some shows have made spin-off of, like, popular shows. But that's crazy to think a sketch, like, created a show. That shows just the longevity of this idea.
I think, the concept was good enough.
And so explain for the people who haven't seen the show, what is Absolutely Fabulous?
So I'm going to read what the IMDb description is,
sure.
And then I'm going to kind of give my general take on it. It came out in 1992. The premise, as written on IMDb, is the wild misadventures of Adina Monsoon and her best friend, Patsy Stone, who live in a near-constant haze of drugged, drunken selfishness. Which I think is pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's spot on.
I think it's particularly about Adina, who is she's a publicist, she runs a PR firm, but she is obsessed with fashion. She's obsessed with trying to keep up with the best and biggest fashion of the time. And I think one of the defining things about the show, which seemed to be one of the premises of the original sketch was that she has a teenage daughter who in their relationship is more of the responsible mother type, whereas the mother is kind of this, like, fashionable, like, ex-hippie who just can't get anything. Like, she's not responsible. She can't keep her shit together. So
it's a really good dichotomy.
It's interesting, yeah, to have the crazy mom and kind of being reined in by the very conservative daughter. So that premise alone is really funny.
Yeah. And it's something you generally don't see that sort of relationship often. It's a very interesting way to make your audience dislike your main character while laughing at her, where, like, we're kind of the surrogate of the daughter in a lot of ways, where I think a lot of the people who are the general TV watching audience, for the most part, are not the huge partying type, generally. I think we are more in line with the person who reads books and doesn't go out to the parties.
I mean, I
think a lot of people watch and do have kind of, like, party ways where they, like... But I think it's more people are living vicariously through these people.
I would agree with that, yes.
Yeah.
That's why when I first started watching it, I thought it was funny... but it's such a strange show, really, that I stopped watching it, but then I got back into it because I was thinking about it, and it's so fun to watch because it's such a weird, heightened version of reality.
And every episode just kind of ends, where, like, for the most part, the plots, they don't really matter. Mm. It's a lot like some of, like, the early Simpsons, where, like, you get a beginning bit, and then that bit doesn't matter. Like, five minutes in, the opener doesn't matter, they're doing something else now.
Yeah.
And then, in the last 2 minutes, they're like, and we're wrapping up, it's done.
Yeah. It pretty much is, every episode consists of, Adina, or Eddie... as they call her, just trying, she's got some new idea, like she's trying to lose weight, or she's trying to look younger, or she's trying to, like, start an interior decorating career, or like, she's always got this new fad, this new trend that she's into, she's obsessed with. She's always joined on her adventure by her best friend, Patsy Stone, played by the incomparable Joanna Lumley, who is, how do you describe Patsy?
An enigma.
she's so beautiful and classy, but she's also got, like, a filthy mouth, and she is so mean to her best friend's daughter. She's so mean to Saffron. It's a little disturbing.
Like, she hisses at her like it's an alley cat or something.
I think Patsy is amazing. Like, and there's this kind of narrative throughout the entire series that Patsy, like, hasn't eaten since the 60s or something.
Which is such,
like,
a great
she
joke.
She just doesn't eat.
And if somebody in the fashion world, you're like, that always is a recurring joke that, like, they don't eat enough, they're paper thin.
Yeah.
But it's heightened to the point where she does physically eat in a scene.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. And so I think good. One of the reasons, like, you mentioned that, like, it's a very good sitcom. And I think one of the indicators of a good sitcom is being able to work the audience. Mm. Like, if you can make the audience die laughing, then the people watching at home are like, okay, this isn't fake. Like, a lot of modern sitcoms, you can tell they pause for a laugh break.
Mm.
And in Absolutely Fabulous, they earn it with a lot of physical comedy.
Oh, my goodness.
They have a good line, and it'll get, like, a sensible chuckle. And then something will happen, and you'll just watch Joanna Lumley squat across the screen, and you're like, I don't know what she's doing, but I love it.
It is funny. I think that this show does have a really good mix of... clever jokes, but I wouldn't really say that it's the show's strength. I think the strength comes from, I think physical comedy, and also I think Joanna Lumley does line delivery very well.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And I think both of the two leads of the show have incredible chemistry in a way where they bounce off of each other. They're never competing for, like... dominance of the show. Like, I think they compete for dominance in scenes where, like, the characters are, like, always one-upping each other. But for the most part, it's usually they're building each other up, and they're trying to do everything together.
They enable each other.
Yes.
They are enablers.
Enabler. Funny word, enabler.
It's just really funny. There's a moment in the birthday episode from season 2 where it's very brief, but it really sums up Eddie and Patsy's relationship to me, and it's beautiful, and I had to go back and watch it a couple times because it's just so good. It's Adina's birthday, and Patsy has just been riding up and down the street waving at Adina's house while she's, like, on the back of some hot guy's motorcycle. And then she comes into the house and sees, like, someone else has brought this big present yes. for Eddie. And she just looks at it as, like, oh, someone brought her a present? I guess I should get her a present. She doesn't say anything, but she rips a huge thing of wrapping paper off of the present.
Yeah, rips the side
and she
off.
Walks into the house and grabs one of Eddie's own ashtrays and wraps it in the... Just
haphazardly.
Half-ass wraps it in the wrapping paper and then goes, hey, Eddie, happy birthday, and just hands it to her. And Eddie just goes, she goes, oh, yeah, thanks, and takes it and puts it down.
Yeah.
And it's like, that to me is such a good illustration of their relationship because it's like, they go through the motions.
Exactly. They know how humans should act.
Yes. It's so funny to me. But, yeah, I love that.
So who's your favorite character? Because there, I think, in the main group, there are really, like, five characters that kind of hover in the main...
Well, that's what's interesting, is that there are five main characters, and all five of them are women of different ages.
And
I think that's incredible, because I can't think of many other shows outside of, like... Sex in the City, which came a little bit later, but, like, I can't think of that many shows that were this popular that had
all
pretty
women.
Much an yeah. all-female main cast.
I mean, Golden Girls.
Golden Girls, yes.
Oof.
But it's...
But, if that's one of the only you can name, yeah, only ones you can name,
it's
and
true.
It's another legendary show...
So...
I think it, yeah.
There's Adina... Monsoon, there's Patsy Stone, her best friend, there's Saffron, Saffy,
their daughter,
who was Adina's daughter, there's Adina's mother,
who, we were trying to figure out,
I don't think
does she have a name?
I don't know, if they've
ever,
is she
just mother?
If they mentioned her name, I don't remember what it is, but she's credited as mother, so, then there's Adina's really dumb assistant, Bubble,
I have thoughts.
Yeah, it's amazing. So,
but the thing that's even more amazing about these five roles, all of the actresses' first names begin with J.
I read that.
All five.
That's crazy.
That's beyond weird.
Joanna,
Jennifer, Julia, June, and Jane.
That's so weird.
I couldn't name you five friends of mine that have J names. And all these talented people just found each other and they're like, yeah, let's do it.
That's funny.
It had to be in the casting process where they're like, find us an old lady with a J name. I don't care who it is.
So I do have some nice little tidbits of information about the show.
Ooh, give them.
If you would let me read them to you.
Am I?
One is that when it first aired at the BBC, it was on BBC Two, which was kind of their secondary network that wasn't as watched. I guess they didn't think it was going to have as much of a following as it did. And then once it came out, it had such high ratings, they moved it to the BBC One because it had... Not just a small cult following. It was huge, which is crazy to me. And
BBC
fact,
makes interesting decisions.
It was so big that it had a bunch of crossovers with American TV.
Oh, wow.
So I had heard about the Roseanne crossover from our friend Edmund, but apparently Roseanne Barr wanted to do an American remake.
Of course she did.
Of Absolutely Fabulous.
She just wanted to be mean the whole time.
And apparently it never got off the ground, but...
She's too mean. Not
it,
funny enough.
Well, it wasn't going to be her in it. She was going to produce it.
Oh.
I'll tell you who's going to be in it. But it never got off the ground, but Roseanne ended up being able to do a crossover where she had both Eddie and Patsy on her show. I forget
the 90s were so great. Like, you couldn't do that nowadays. The only crossovers you get are superhero shows where it's like, oh, it's a big team up.
Like
we have to
Arrow
defeat something.
And
yeah,
Flash.
The Arrowverse. Where it's so, like, no, I just want Urkel to hang out with a Full House people. Like, I don't care that they're not in the same city. Put them on my screen.
There's a way to do it.
Yeah.
So in
all the acting, I get
the
it.
The American remake that Roseanne wanted to produce was apparently going to star Carrie Fisher.
What?
And Barbara Carrera. I don't know if you know who she is.
No.
She was in the Eon Productions James Bond movie, Everything or Nothing. She was the assassin that tried to kill him. Oof. She was she was like a model in the 80s or 90s. Anyway, but yeah, I was going to have Carrie Fisher, and I don't know if Carrie Fisher was maybe going to be the Eddie character or the Patsy character, but either way, could have been good, but it just never got made. There was also...
What did you say her name was again?
It's Barbara Carrera. She had, I think that was her stage name. But did you know there was a Friends crossover?
What?
Which is weird to me that, I mean, I guess you wouldn't know it. And I guess it wasn't technically a crossover. But I know you're a huge fan of Friends, a show that I have never really...
I mean, I watched it all when I was, like, younger. And so it made that emotional imprint on you. Like, whenever you're, you know, a preteen and you're just looking for something that feels like...
fun.
Fun, but also, like, these people are talking about things I'm interested in, and they're having fun talking about it.
Okay.
But, yeah, so I haven't watched a lot of Friends recently, so I'm racking my brain trying to think where or when that would have happened.
I found a video of when Jennifer Saunders was on.
Okay.
She was on Friends. And I've never seen the episode, so I don't really know the contest. It looks like it's Ross's wedding. Ross is getting married to some woman, a character.
He does that a lot.
A character I don't know. And Jennifer Saunders played Ross's fiance's father's new wife. And so it's Jennifer Saunders. She's like yelling on the phone.
Yep.
Yeah, that's Jennifer Saunders. Wow. So she wasn't technically playing Idina Menzel.
Because he marries... one of the people he marries is a little British girl named Emily.
Oh, yeah, it was. It was Emily's.
Yeah.
So, the reason that I think that you can consider it an AbFab crossover is because June Whitfield, who plays Eddie's mother, is also in the episode. There's a part where Phoebe is trying to get a hold of somebody in England, and she calls the house. I don't know whose house she's calling, but she calls, and June Whitfield answers the phone. And she's like, "Hello, dear," and then she like scolds Phoebe on not being able to like state her business on the phone proper enough. So yeah, I thought
that was really interesting
that they were like, "This show's huge! Like, put it on Roseanne, put it on Friends."
How did I not think though in my head like? I'm trying to figure out, looking through like 10 seasons of Friends, like there are two episodes that take place in England. Of course it was one of the English episodes.
Yeah. So in doing some deep diving into IMDb, I started to read through Joanna Lumley's filmography.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Saunders' filmography, and found out that they have been in a ton of things that we've both seen probably when we were younger and we had no idea who they were.
Or they're one of those people, those kind of character actors.
Where they've been in so many things. Yeah, and I think, especially after the success of AbFab, they probably both started to get a lot of cameos.
Yeah.
But Joanna Lumley is in On Her Majesty's Secret Service.
And I love that one.
Yeah. It's the... You know that, like, place up in the mountains that he goes to, and it's got all those...
I totally remember exactly who she is now.
All those girls who, like, Blofeld's, like, cured their allergies.
Uh-huh, and one of them writes the number 6 on the inside of his leg
and
lipstick.
That's Ruby. They're all, like,
sexy.
One of them's from, like, America, and one of them's from, like, wherever, and one of them's from England. So Joanna Lumley plays the England one.
Yeah, I totally remember that
It's interesting, right?
Wow.
I know, right? Like, she's been in all these things, and then we didn't
She's so beautiful and poised and composed, and she just looks like every scene she's in, as an audience member, I'm just like, yeah, you're better than me. Like, just be up there, be better
than
me.
Joanna Lumley is like the British Christine Baranski, right? Super tall, super skinny, beautiful, maybe kind of a weird mouth, but you don't care because they're so freaking talented.
As we've been watching it, I said she needs to play Cruella DeVille.
She would be a great Cruella.
And now I want to see Christine Baranski do it.
Joanna Lumley is also in James and the Giant Peach. She plays one of the mean aunts.
Yes, she is.
And do you know who plays the other aunt? Another person who comes up in this podcast a lot, Miriam Margolyes.
Wow.
Yeah, they played the aunts.
The one.
I thought that was crazy.
Ants of different sizes.
Because that movie, I saw that so many times as a kid. I haven't seen it in
that
a long
movie
time.
That
but...
is weird.
It's really
like,
weird.
That movie's messed
we
up.
We might have to do it on this podcast.
Do we have to?
We could.
Oh, I feel like it's going to scar me.
Here's another great thing. Do you remember that comic relief Doctor Who episode I showed you?
Oh, I absolutely do.
What is it called? The Curse of the Fatal Death. It's got Jonathan Pryce, and it's got Hugh Grant, whereas, like, yeah, Hugh Grant's playing the Doctor, he dies and he regenerates, and he becomes a woman for a moment before he regenerates again and becomes Richard E. Grant before he... Anyway...
It's so weird that a comedy show did that first before the actual show.
Oh, like, made a woman?
A woman can be
so
the Doctor.
So the woman was Joanna Lumley. Yeah. And you know
that's
what's,
how you get away with it.
You know what
it.
Else is interesting? Someone pointed out that in that, that's a non-canon because it's...
Of course.
It's for comedy. But in that, God, she was the 13th Doctor and a woman. And in the actual Doctor Who canon, the 13th Doctor is a woman. Yeah. A blonde one, too. So I thought
so
that was interesting.
So who are they to argue with comic relief? I think the showrunners just knew. They're like, we can't not do a woman because it's not canon, but it kind
it's
of
true.
Is. It's canon.
I did see a lot of fans online that they were saying Joanna Lumley would have made an amazing Doctor.
Yeah.
And fuck yeah.
I mean, I love Peter Capaldi, but put her in there
Excuse
instead of him.
Excuse my language.
Yeah, sorry, Diane.
But she's just one of those, sorry, Mom. But she's just one of those actors that is so captivating and funny. Joanna Lumley is also in Wolf of Wall Street. She's in Paddington 2. We know that she plays Hugh Grant's
so
agent.
Good in
also
Paddington 2.
In Paddington 2, she's the one that's like nice buns, darling. Yeah. She was 72 in Paddington 2. And she looks amazing. 72. She's just a beautiful woman. So those were some of the interesting things I saw that Joanna Lumley was in.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear about what Jennifer Saunders was
in? Yeah, I am kind of worried now,
because
I feel like you've already wrecked my world a little bit.
I am about to blow your mind.
Oh, let's do it.
She's in Muppet Treasure Island.
What?
She's the innkeeper lady who's their boss before they leave. She's Mrs. Blueveridge.
No.
Yeah, the one that, they're like, how does she bloody do that? Oh. That's Jennifer Saunders! They made her look so old and ugly in it. Remember? She's got, like, all this padding,
yeah.
And she's got, like, a wart and a weird tooth.
She's hideous.
That's such good character work, though, because I've seen Muppet Treasure Island 1,000 times.
And we've been quoting it all week because we've been watching The Umbrella Academy.
It's true. We keep going,
Billy
Bones!
Oh, and I think a lot of people don't know, there is a show called Black Sails that the guy, Luther in Umbrella Academy, plays Billy Bones.
Yeah.
And it reminds us of Muppet Treasure Island. We don't get out enough.
No, like, we just watch TV. That's why we're doing this podcast.
Yeah.
But so that really blew me away that, like, I've been watching Jennifer Saunders without knowing it since I was a child. She's also in Spice World. She had a cameo in Spice World.
I've never seen Spice World.
Interesting. I only saw it once in theaters.
I feel like we have to cover
it. We'll probably have to cover it for this podcast.
Oh, no.
Because Stephen Fry is in it. Hugh Laurie's in it. It's like every British celebrity had a cameo
in
Spice
World. They
did
it on How Did This Get Made? And I'm worried now.
It's probably not good. But
no,
it's probably one of those ones where, like,
good.
If you were a fan back in the day, it was, like, the greatest movie you've ever seen.
Their guest on that episode was, I think it was Retta. And she loved it. So maybe it's good. How do I remember that?
Jennifer Saunders played a woman in Spice World who was credited as Fashionable Woman, and people think she was probably playing a version of Idina Menzel. She doesn't look like Idina, but,
Idina can change. She can have different hair.
She's in Friends. Oh, also, Jennifer Saunders voices the fairy godmother in Shrek 2.
Of course she does.
Amazing, right? And she also...
Does she sing, too?
I think so. I don't know if that was her singing, but maybe.
Save that franchise.
She also...
No, Shrek didn't need saving. That franchise was fine. It was
keep his name out of your
own.
Mouth. Also, Jennifer Saunders voices the Queen in the Minions movie.
Oh!
Yeah. So...
Interesting.
That I thought was really interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway, I only have one little bit of trivia.
Tell me
and
a little
it
bit.
Is that... So when Absolutely Fabulous got really big in England, and I think 2 or 3 years after it premiered in England, it finally started being aired in America, and the gay men of America fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it had a huge following here in America, too, like everyone, but I
more
guess,
than Are You Being
I
Served?
I guess gay men in particular. That's true. It, again, had a really good, like, fan base, but apparently during New York City Pride Week in 2002, Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley judged an Adina and Patsy lookalike contest at a gay bar.
Beautiful. That's really great. I love that.
Oh, it's so good.
Hey, Danny.
What?
Do you hear that?
What?
I think...
Is it hot?
It's a snack break.
It's time for a snack break.
It's coming in hot.
All right, everyone.
Look out.
We're going to take a quick break and have a snack. Welcome to Snack Break. Every episode of this podcast, we like to try a British candy bar or chip or food recipe, something we've never tried before, and see what it's like. We've been doing a lot of candy bars, but that's just because England has what seems like an unending supply of amazing candy bars.
And we have a sweet tooth, so eating a lot of chocolate is not...
That's
we're not
fine.
Complaining
that's
here.
That's fine.
And we put it up on our Facebook page.
Oh, yes. I posted an image of all of the candy bars that we have at the moment. I posted it to Facebook and our Instagram and asked you guys, which one should we try first? And there were some really good answers, but overwhelmingly everyone said to try the double-decker
bar. Double-decker.
So we are going to try the double-decker bar.
Already, I love it. Purple is my favorite color.
I like the packaging.
The packaging is like half purple, half orange, like top and bottom. Like, it's nice, it's crisp, but...
It says, the description of it is nougat top and crispy bottom in Cadbury milk chocolate.
Like, this reminds me of what, like, a Willy Wonka bar would be like or
True.
Something. Not, it's like kind of a tiny bit whimsical. Just
I gotta say,
whimsical.
I'm really falling in love with Cadbury chocolate.
With very good chocolate.
Yeah, it is. It's so good. But just every British candy bar we have, I'm like, this is superior to a lot of things we have here
in
America.
Oh, you're changing.
Do you think that the double-decker is... it's referring to the two layers, but do you think it's referring to the bus?
Like a bus? Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, let's try it.
Okay, so I see, looking at it, it's got, two layers, two decks here.
Let's give it a try.
Let's give it a whirl. Ooh, that crunch, though. Everyone, you are totally right.
This is a really interesting candy bar.
That is so many textures going on in my mouth.
There's a lot of texture.
Oh, I love texture.
There's more flavor than I thought there would be.
Yeah.
I don't know if this nougat has a flavor.
Or maybe American nougat just sucks.
I mean, that's very possible.
I mean, the stuff we put in our candy.
This is interesting. I don't think I like it as much as the Boost bar. I still think Boost is my favorite
this
candy bar.
This is a Boost for me, I think.
Really?
With Boost, it was almost a little too liquidy.
Don't you say that. It was perfect.
Hey, I'm saying Boost is still up in the top 5% of all candy bars in the world.
I'm seriously, like, getting mad.
I know. You're grabbing your pin
that
so firmly.
That candy bar. But yes.
But Double Decker, this is phenomenal. I am so in love with this. This is definitely my favorite British candy bar I've tried so far.
The nougat is, I think it's a little different than the nougat we have in like a Snickers bar or like a Milky Way, where it's like kind of soft and comes apart.
Well, it's like
this
whipped
in
those.
This reminds me of a Charleston Chew.
Yes, and I
love
Charleston Chew.
You love a Charleston Chew, so you would love this.
But then it's also got like a lot of good crisp, like
There's crisped rice.
Crisped rice, yeah. It's like puffed up. Yeah, it's basically like, honestly, they're stacked on top of each other. It's like a double decker bus. Like it's wrapped in chocolate, but on the inside, the top half is nougat, and the bottom half is this crisp, puffed rice, and it's
There are a bunch of tourists riding on it.
Yeah, you kind of have to work them around them in your mouth, but they don't taste too bad. Well, I guess that's what the crisps are. They're little people on the bus.
I think I like this better than the Lion Bar.
Yeah, that
I wasn't
one was kind of
too blown away by the Lion Bar, but I think I don't know. This is good. This is good.
Great.
I'm gonna eat the rest of it when we're done.
This is like a simple concept executed to perfection. I think there's some American candy bars that can do this, like with only three ingredients. You know, give me like
that's a really good point.
A Payday, like a Baby Ruth, Milky Way, like something very simple. I think nowadays they're trying to do like Take Five bar.
Here's
a bunch of shit covered in chocolate.
Pretzel, yeah.
Like I don't need pretzels in a candy bar.
Keep
pretzels out of my candy.
I like pretzels in candy.
Ugh, no.
But no, that's a really good point that a lot of, especially if a new candy bar comes out here in America, it's going to have like 8 things in it.
Yeah.
Or it's going to be like a variation on something. And I think that there is something
like
to be said. about British candy bars, how, like, they can be this simple, but their chocolate quality is so good that they don't need to have a lot of extra things.
And see, I think I...
Good job, England.
I'm okay with their chocolate quality, but in, like, small quantities. Like, if this was mostly chocolate, I would be a little on the fence, but I like, it's a little bit of chocolate, a lot of that tasty, tasty nougat.
Wow, I've never seen your eyes look like that. Wow.
Find yourself a man that looks like nougat, like Sheldon does.
Oh my goodness. Oh, that was a pretty good snack break.
That was good. Oh, there it goes. Goodbye.
Bye. And we're back. So, yeah. What do you think are some of the best episodes of Absolutely Fabulous that you watched?
I really liked the heartbreaking one where it's her daughter's birthday and she forgets about it. Oof, that one got me. It was like, there are some moments on this show where it gets a little too goofy for me. And usually I don't care for it whenever they bring the drama on a comedy show.
Yeah.
But that was very well done. And it made you feel so bad. And then immediately she turns it back on herself and you're laughing again.
Oh, that was my favorite part. I did get really sad because all throughout the show... just Patsy and Adina are just, like, being so mean to Saffron. And so when she was like, it's my birthday, Mom, and I'm clearly upset at you. And just the fact that Adina goes, well, I'm the one that gave you that birthday.
I gave you your birthday.
I gave that to you.
I pushed you out on your birthday.
That was a great moment.
I love that one. I like the episode where they go to France. And
France is a good episode.
You've got the French guy that's trying to let them know that, like, they're in the wrong house.
Oh, my God. But
her reaction
to
Patsy...
The way that Patsy just looks at him, and he says something in French to her, and she just looks at him like, I don't know what... And so she just takes some money out of her pocket and gives it to him so he'll go away. And I like that he, like, takes it, but then he looks at the other money in her hand, and he just takes that, too.
He takes it all.
And then I also like the second time when he comes back and knocks on the door, and Eddie goes out there too, and they both try to hear what he's saying, but they don't understand it. And then Patsy just goes, and just like waves her hands and runs back inside.
And then the third time he comes back and he says, you guys were supposed to be in the chateau.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's a good episode. I think that's when I kind of fell in love with the show.
Yeah.
Was when they go to the little, whatever they're in, the little... the house.
Shack.
Yeah, there's the shack they're staying in. And they're like, oh, a cockroach. And then Eddie's like, oh, no, don't kill it. I'm a Buddhist. I could come back as one. And then Patsy just sweeps it away. And she goes, oh, I think it's had a coronary, sweetie. Ugh. And that's one thing that is really prevalent in this show is, like, Patsy and Eddie are always calling each other sweetie,
oh,
darling.
Oh, sweetie, sweetie, darling.
It's so funny. They do it so well.
I think my other favorite bit is where Patsy falls asleep and the house burns down around her.
Oh.
She sets it all on fire and wakes up.
She sets the kitchen on fire. They run down there and everything's blackened. And they're like, where's Patsy? And
she pops
suddenly,
her head up.
Yeah, she pops her head up and she's like all covered in soot except for one little stripe of her face and hair that was on the table.
Down on the
and
table.
She's still got the smoking cigarette in her mouth and she just goes, and just nodded off. I love how deep her voice is.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Unapologetically.
I do also love, I think it's Patsy saying it to Saffron. She says, oh, you bitch troll from hell. It's such a mean thing to say to
they
somebody.
Have so many great reactions to each other. And I love the time that Saffron is informing her about, like, hey, you're to the age where you have to have checkups.
Yeah.
You are, like... It's
you have
weird
to get a mammogram.
That's probably one of the only times I've seen that discussed openly on TV.
Interesting.
Like, I feel like a lot of shows don't broach it, or if they do, a man is there with them.
Maybe not a lot of shows you've watched.
True.
Maybe not a lot of shows in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably on Grey's Anatomy and some shit, but...
but yeah,
for, like, a sitcom, like... And, dude, they do play a lot for laughs, but there is, like... You know, they're talking about, you know, checking your breast for lumps, and Saffron kind of helps her out.
I do like that moment because, like, they are always so mean to each other. And, like, Saffron, I understand why she's mean to Patsy, because Patsy is so mean to her. And Saffron's the younger one in that situation. And so I understand Saffron's, like, her animosity towards Patsy. But, yeah, they're just always so mean to each other, and I love that moment where Patsy just comes to her and she's like, I need someone to, like, just check my breasts, so will you do it? And Saffron does it. It's so nice. And they kind of have this nice little moment of, yeah, like, look, we did something where we weren't being mean to each other.
And then she takes it a step too far and asks her to check her downstairs, too.
Oh, yeah. And then she's like, no, you go to the doctor for that. Yeah. But I do love that then it cuts to, like, Patsy, like, putting her shirt back on. She picks up her purse. She goes, all right, cheers, thanks. And just walks out.
That's as nice as she'll ever be to her.
So funny. I also love how they're always saying, like, Saffron or the grandmother will say something to them, like, confront them with something. Like, you guys just did this. Do you realize what you've done? And they don't really acknowledge it. They just kind of look at each other and go, do you want some bolly, darling? They go and have champagne. But, yeah.
Can we talk about, we haven't talked about at all, the character of Bubbles.
We talk about Bubble. It's Bubble.
Bubble.
Bubble is Eddie's assistant. She is an idiot.
I do not care for that character one bit.
I can see that because I think dumb characters are really hit and miss.
I think it's one thing to have a dumb character if they have something else about their personality. If their personality is that they're dumb, then they're not fun. Mm. Or their personality is that they're weird or quirky, like,
yeah,
Screech, Saved by the Bell, over it immediately. Like, it's just not funny whenever it's just like, I don't know, make them do a weird thing and it'll break up the monotony and make our other weird asshole characters seem like light in comparison.
Yeah.
Where they just make her so dumb.
It's interesting. I think that I don't care much for the writing that Bubble is given. I don't think the jokes are always that funny, but I do think that the actress is funny.
She does a good job with what she's given.
I love her weird accent and the...
I just don't get why she has that job. How does she still have
that
job?
She would never.
She messes up every single time.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's part of the point of the show is that Eddie's never really working. She has a job. She's a publicist. She has a PR firm, but she's never doing work.
Yeah,
I guess so. She can kind of get by with an assistant that doesn't do shit.
But I feel like it would be so much better for her career.
Yeah. I think the best character is Patsy.
Oh, by far.
I think Adina's great, and I think Jennifer Saunders is great, but I think the best character is Patsy. I also really love Patsy's boss, who I pointed out to you earlier. She's this woman who just kind of comes into the boardroom and is like, all right, this is what we're doing this,
Yeah, that accent.
She sounds like her accent and the way that she speaks sounds exactly like Bricktop from Snatch.
Yeah.
It's the same weird, like, gangster accent, and it's so weird to see a woman talking like that.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect it.
I do love, there's a scene with her boss where they're complaining about how young fashion models are. Like, fashion models are getting skinnier, they're getting younger, and her Patsy's boss says to her, if the models get any younger, they'll be chucking fetuses down the runway.
Oh, man,
that joke kills me.
That was something
it's
else.
It's so good, and the delivery of it is also so good. yeah, are there any other characters you really like?
I liked whenever I walked in on you watching it, and I kind of laughed, and I go, oh, Idris Elba's on Absolutely Fabulous.
It was really
And then Idris I sat Elba. Down and was like, no, that's actually Idris Elba. Like,
yeah,
holy cow.
A really young Idris Elba. Do you know what I read?
He played a male prostitute.
He was playing a male sex worker.
Sex worker.
And
an escort.
I read that was his first speaking role.
Wow.
Yeah, so he must have been getting in things because obviously
he
gorgeous.
Knows the effect he has on women.
He's gorgeous. But yeah, you were like, I think that's Idris Elba. And I was like, no. But it was.
Wow.
There's actually a huge list of celebrities that have been on AbFab, ranging from British celebrities
to
American
like
celebrities.
Mini drivers on
it. It's insane. On the Wikipedia page for AbFab, you can find it. But it's like a list. I want to say there's like 100 names in there of just celebrities that were on it.
And usually it's a celebrity coming on and then just the AbFab people will make themselves look so dumb and the celebrity is just bewildered the whole time.
That's so good. That's another really funny thing is that they got so popular that the Pet Shop Boys did a song, Absolutely Fabulous, and the music video for it is them like playing the song and then it's got Adina and Patsy just kind of like making fools of themselves. And like the Pet Shop Boys don't have to do anything in the video. They stand there, they play their keyboard, and they sing the music. And they don't move, because all you need is Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley
just dancing,
acting like they're drunk. It's so good.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I've got a bit of trivia.
Okay.
Something we didn't talk about much. The show got 6 seasons, but then it also got a movie.
Yes.
Do you know how the movie came about?
Or no.
So, basically, apparently Jennifer Saunders had been working on the script for a while, but just never kept shelving it, and it wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And then, apparently Dawn French made her a bet that she wouldn't finish the film script before the end of the year. Just kind of like, I bet you won't do it. Like, yeah. You're never going to finish it. And apparently she said that she's worked with that girl her whole life, and she knows what a massive supreme procrastinator she is. Mm. So I knew she had to put her hard dosh on the line. So basically, yeah, you just need, like you mentioned before, they're writing partners, they're comedy partners. They know how to get the other one going. That's saw this idea just in her friend's head.
That's a good partner. The person that can get you and push you to do things. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I thought that was great.
That's a beautiful, beautiful friendship. It's interesting because Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French are comedy partners and have been for years, but it's interesting too that she and Joanna Lumley have also kind of had this partnership. Yeah. Just acting together as these two characters.
And we watched a little bit of some behind-the-scenes stuff on it.
Yeah.
And you could tell, I think it was from one of the first episodes they were shooting, it was before anybody had seen it yet, there's a behind-the-scene, and Joanna Lumley's like, I don't know if this is going to work. Like, if this show is not a success, it wasn't me. She wrote the whole thing, and she's pointing at Jennifer, like, you can tell it was a bit crazy what they're doing. Like, characters that are this abrasive and, like, they're not redeeming at all.
Yeah.
And those are the main characters where, like, you could see it not working.
I could see it, yeah. But it took off.
But it does.
It really is interesting to note that Jennifer Saunders wrote all the show.
Every episode?
I'm pretty sure every episode.
Like, I'm sure there's, like, a writing team helping polish it up.
They had a script editor, Ruby Wax. But, yeah, she wrote it all. And it's interesting because I can't think of any women in America in the 90s that could be like, I want a show and I want to write it and also act in it and star in it. Like, that's really, really cool. I'm really proud of her.
I would say the closest thing we didn't get until the 2000s would be Sarah Silverman. Mm. She would probably be the person that did that
America
around that time.
Well, and it's not so much that there weren't women that would want to do that, but it's like, who would give...
The networks weren't taking
those risks. A show like that, so
Well, and at
really
the time
cool.
in America, it was all building a giant ensemble group of attractive people.
That's true.
And it wasn't as much like, let's take a chance and do, like, an all-female show. Like, I don't think that would have happened in America in the 90s, really. Gilmore Girls.
You know what I love? You just gave yourself a...
Yeah.
You know what I love? It's just, I just love, the more I've watched of Absolutely Fabulous, the more I've really started to love the friendship between Eddie and Patsy.
Yeah.
Because they don't seem, they seem like they're very, like, codependent, and they just depend on each other for everything. Like, they end up living together forever because they just can't be without each other. But it's not...
They're happy.
It doesn't seem like it's out of love. It seems like they're just like, you're the only other person that likes to, be drunk all day like me.
Well, it's that agape, that platonic love.
Yeah.
That, like, you can tell some friends just love each other unconditionally, and they're like that.
But they don't ever say... They're never like, oh, you mean a lot to me, I love you. Like,
yeah,
never.
They could never.
But it is really sweet. I love when they go to New York City, and Eddie's trying to, like, find the perfect door handle to put in her new kitchen.
Yeah. And so they fly to New York for a door handle.
They go to New York City, and they look around, and they're looking at, like, door handles, and then they see one. I forget what building it's in. I think it's, like, some big building. They go, and there's, like, in the lobby, there's this, like, door with this interesting handle, and Adina's, like, taking a picture of it so she can, like, get one like it. And I just love the moment where Patsy just kind of, like, puts her back to it, and she goes, do you want me to get it for you, Eddie?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, and she's, like, insinuating that she'll steal it for
us. I'll take this doorknob right now.
I just love it so much. Like,
that's a best friend.
That's a friend. A friend that would, like, steal a doorknob off of a public building for
you. Not just that, like, they're in another country, and depending on how they got there and what their work situation, like, if they have a work visa because of their fashion stuff, that could get you arrested and you could, like, never be able to come back to America.
True.
She's risking, like, deportation.
There is a, there's another episode later on in the series where, they kind of have a fight, and they're kind of like, I'm done with you. Like, I'm tired. I don't need you anymore. And, like, Patsy decides to move to New York and become a fashion editor there. She's like, I'm going to make it over here.
Yeah.
And Eddie's like, fine, I don't need you. And then Patsy, like, moves to New York. It's not really working out. Like, the people in the fashion industry there don't understand any of her ideas. And, like, the drag queens love her outfits, which kind of shows her, like, oh, your fashion doesn't really work here. And then she's just, like, drinking vodka and smoking on top of a building. And it's just this long shot of her just, like, looking out at the city, like, ugh, my life. And you're like, what's going on? And then suddenly a helicopter comes up, and Eddie's in the helicopter with the driver, and she's waving. And she's like, Eddie! And Adina's just like, hi! I got bored! It's just really cute. And then she gets sweet. Her, and they go home to England. But
to bloody London.
It's a really funny show.
It's a cute show, yeah. Like, how would you recommend it to somebody if... You know, like, if you find somebody that is perfect for this show, how do you pitch it to them? How do you recommend it?
I think anyone who likes to see really good female comedy actors, especially women who do great physical comedy.
Yeah. I think other than, like, Melissa McCarthy, I can't think of a lot of other people currently that do physical comedy like this. Like, these women are legends. The stuff that they do on screen.
They do a lot of falls.
They do so many.
They mentioned that they did a lot of, like, falls in the first series, and then they had to kind of cut back on it. But
I love, we just watched it where she puts on, what is that thing? The skin-tight Spanx suit?
When her butt was big?
No. When she puts on the tiny little thing because
it's the Olympics. It's shapewear.
Patsy, and they think Michael Douglas is
Patsy
coming.
Patsy puts on Adina's shapewear underneath
her dress. It's the size of a baby.
Like, well, I mean, and that's what shapewear is, though. It's like spandex, and it's super small, right. And then you put it on, and it stretches out and holds everything in. But yeah, like, Patsy's just kind of, like, leaning on the couch.
She can't stand all the way up.
Like, yeah, she's slouching. She can't stand up. But I love that they tried talking to her, and she just, like, falls over. And you're like, is she dead?
Yeah. And I was like, well, it was the last one that aired. Did she die?
No. She was a breathing through the shapewear.
But the best is, they're like, she doesn't have a pulse. Oh, she's never had a pulse, darling.
I do love the constant narrative in this show of Patsy, like...
She's not alive,
Patsy,
right?
Hasn't eaten since, like, the 60s. She doesn't know how to eat food. And yeah, she's basically like a vampire. She smokes all these cigarettes every day and, like, drinks. It's really interesting. But yeah, I would recommend it to anyone that really likes to see, I don't know, maybe like people who like cynical comedic shows, because this one is not an uplifting show.
No, and it's along the lines, like, I know I compared Fawlty Towers a bit to Always Sunny, but this is that same kind of humor where...
Yeah, they're terrible, like, people.
They're terrible people. They say and do offensive things.
Yeah.
There are some times where, like, a line will come up and you're like, I don't know if they should have said that.
Yeah.
So if you like that kind of humor that you feel a little naughty listening to, or you're, you know, or you're just like, ooh, like, who are these people?
How do you think this show aged?
Pretty well. I mean, I think... Well, I say that. I think it probably was groundbreaking at the time.
I agree.
I think now it is still very good for what it is.
Yeah.
But I think at the time, it was probably... Nobody had ever seen anything like this.
I think a lot of the jokes that I see in it, that the... You hear the laugh track, like, the audience is losing it, and I am kind of laughing at it, and I realize it's because I've seen that joke a lot.
Yeah.
But it is from things that came out after it. So it could be that when it came out, these jokes were more fresh.
Yeah.
And now we've seen them copied again and again and again.
Well, and what happens in a good sitcom is if, like, a sitcom is successful, they'll take, like, all of those producers and everyone else on the writing staff that wasn't Jennifer Saunders, and they'll put them on a writing staff of a new up-and-coming sitcom.
Gotcha.
And so that's how, like, you see, like, a lot of the jokes from How I Met Your Mother are directly from Friends, because they have a bunch of the same writing staff and producers.
Gotcha.
And so, like, yeah. it... they recycle what works.
Yeah.
And this, I think, set the tone for a lot.
I definitely think there's stuff in AbFab that doesn't always land with me, but it's of no fault of its own. It's just because I've seen so much comedy at this point. But I think it's aged pretty well. There wasn't a lot of stuff in it that I found to be like, ooh.
There was, I mean, it's the only weird thing, I guess, and it's the sixth season, too, so take it what you will, but her daughter, like, goes to Africa and marries a man who has 9 other wives, and it just felt like, this doesn't seem like Saffron.
It's a little weird. I mean, Saffron was always kind of a weird activist.
I know, but it felt like she was always, like, so super smart, and it was a weird, I don't know, it just felt like,
I agree,
weird character choice, and then the way they handled it, and just, like, kind of talked down at Africa and stuff was a bit odd, too.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. But other than that, I think it's aged very well. And also, just there are moments in the show, like when Patsy and Adina, they leave this awards show, and then they're rifling through the trash outside of the building looking for something that Eddie lost, and then Patsy's drinking these, like, half-empty bottles of champagne in the trash, and they basically wake up on, like, a trash boat going down the Thames, and it's just one of those moments where you're like, this is timeless.
Yeah. Nobody else is making this show.
I think, that's all I really got for AbFab. There's a lot that we didn't talk about, but I think this might be a show where we could do another episode. We could revisit AbFab.
We could watch the movie.
I think we should probably do an episode after we watch the movie and break it down.
And that, and if we do that, we'll definitely reach out to all you guys, the fans, because we can tell a lot of people love this show. This is a very well, it's a beloved show.
Of every show that I've posted on our Instagram, this is the one. Blackadder had a huge response, but this one had an even bigger response.
Oh, speaking of Blackadder, did you see that, by the way, I don't know if you guys all know this, Mr. Bean has a YouTube channel. Yeah, it's crazy. Just sit there and think about it. Let that sink in. Mr. Bean has a YouTube channel, and he just received his Diamond Play button, which means he got 10 million subscribers.
Wow.
So not only did you not know, and probably most of you out there didn't know Mr. Bean has a YouTube channel, you're already way late to this party.
Damn, that's awesome.
And even since then, I think he now is up to like 12 or 13 million. Because everyone, who doesn't love Mr. Bean?
Some people.
My mom doesn't like Mr. Bean. Diane, I love you, but you're wrong.
I said something about Mr. Bean once, and she said, I don't like crude humor. And what? I don't understand, because
Has she seen Mr. Bean?
Mr. Bean is pretty PG.
He's like Mr. Magoo. Like, right? he doesn't speak. He's just...
I don't know. I think...
He makes funny noises.
I don't know.
Is she thinking of Pee-wee Herman?
No.
She's thinking of Pee-wee
She knows
Herman.
Who Pee-wee is.
I don't know.
So, yeah, that was... This has been AbFab. I think that we should definitely wrap up the episode just saying a rest in peace to June Whitfield,
who plays the mother,
Saffron's grandmother in AbFab. She passed away when?
In December of last year.
Of last year. Gotcha. Yeah. Well, she was amazing on Absolutely Fabulous. What a great
Fantastic.
Lady. So are you ready for your word thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we brought it way down, mood-wise.
Sorry.
Now I'm in a mourning mood.
So, yeah, every episode, I like to have you guess a British slang word.
Every episode, I enlighten our audience on the correct term for a British word.
You don't know anything.
I know everything.
Yeah, sometimes it's an old English word, sometimes it's Cockney rhyming slang.
I'll never forgive you for that.
This is something that I found, I've never heard of it, but I'm gonna see what you think.
Alright.
So if someone in England mentions something about a mozzie.
A mozzie?
A mozzie. What do you think that is?
A mozzie? I think that's like, this is drug slang, so you wouldn't know, like, because you're not a big drug person.
Wow. But and you are?
I watch a lot of Skins, you know, so I get
it. I watched Skins, too.
Yeah, but, like, I watch a lot of Skins. Okay. No. So a mozzie is whenever you take a joint, and as you're, like, filling it up with weed, you also crush up an Adderall and sprinkle that in there, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it'll take you places.
Oh, my God. Is that really a thing? Do people do that?
I'm telling you.
Are you making that up, or is that a thing?
I'm making it up, but at the same time, I wouldn't doubt that people
that
do it.
That sounds
I don't think...
That's an upper and a downer, right?
Right, but I don't think you could actually smoke Adderall, because it's a pill. I should have done something more believable.
Well, first of all, you're wrong. That's not what it is. Yeah. A mozzie is a mosquito.
Oh, one of them mozzies. Yeah, that makes sense.
I think that's really funny. Oh, and speaking of mosquito, one of the best lines of Ab Fab is when they go to France. And Adina complains about something about getting bit by mosquitoes. And Patsy says, the last mosquito that bit me had to check into the Betty Ford Clinic. Which is maybe...
That's such a good line.
One of the best lines in this show. I just thought of that. I picked mosquito just by coincidence.
That is a great line.
Wow. Well, now we know what a mozzie is.
Now we know.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, don't try to... to smoke whatever I just mentioned.
Don't.
Please don't.
Don't listen to Sheldon.
That's not on us. but you should listen to me and get a double decker. I'm going to eat the rest of this right now, even though part of it's Danny's. I'm going to eat it all.
I'm going to eat some.
No, we'll see.
Thank you for joining us for Absolutely Fabulous. If we miss anything, please reach out to us. We're on Facebook, The Anglophiles with an F. Instagram, The Anglophiles Podcast with an F. Give us a review on iTunes. We would love some more reviews. I think
yeah,
we
really
have a grand total of one.
Hey.
So it would be nice to have some more. Thank you.
And on our social media, like we mentioned earlier, we'll post some of the candy that we're thinking about eating. Sometimes we'll post a hint at what our next episode could be. So you can kind of join in the conversation there and kind of help shape the podcast yourself.
Dolls. Thank you for joining us. Keep calm and have some bolly, sweetie, darling.
Darling, sweetie.
Wonderful individual.
Thank you.
And remember, I've known you longer than your daughter.
Champers are